أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا صدق الله العظيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة إلا أصحاب اليمين في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نك نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa and those listening over the receivers, the recitation of the Quran Sharif which took place earlier on, there was discussion by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala of the day of Qiyamah and what the kuffar will say. So it took my mind back to an ayat of the Quran Sharif in Surah Al-Muddathir, which I discussed some months ago in a Jummah Bayan. But the audience for the Monday evening program is different, so I feel like repeating some of the things that I mentioned in that bayan. Of course, I do not remember exactly what I said, but without going into detailed tafsir of these ayat, it has got a very important message for the entire ummah. And especially us who are living in this part of the world where there are so much of fitnas that are prevalent. Fitnas all around us. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses in these verses an exchange between those people who will be in Jannat and those who will be in Jahannam. Although the ayat are related to the kuffar, but there is in it great nasihat for the believers, and the whole Quran Sharif is for taking nasihat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after having made his decision, I'm just giving an explanation, after Allah Ta'ala has made a decision, after the judgment has been passed, after the verdict has been given that these people must go into Jahannam, these people must go into Jannat. So he says that those people who will be in Jahannam, in the fire of hell, they will be held back in pledge. They will be held back in custody because of their actions and deeds. Their a'mal, their actions, the actions and the a'mal of the kuffar will be the cause of their being held in custody in the fire of Jahannam. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give the believers the opportunity to ask them questions or to talk to them. It has been mentioned in one hadith sharif that no matter what distance they may be from Jahannam, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make it possible for them to communicate. They will ask them that, why are you in Jahannam? In Surah Al-A'raf there's a whole ayat about this opportunity to ask. So ma salakakum fi saqar. So the people that will be in Jannat, they will not be held in custody. Illa ashab al-yameen, that's what it means. I'm not giving you full tafsir. But they will not be in custody, they will not be held in prison, as we say. They will not be held in pledge. Those kuffar, because of their actions and deeds, they will be in Jahannam. But the believers now from Jannat, because they are of the ashab al-yameen, people of the right, companions of the right, in other words, those people who will receive the book of deeds in the right hands, those who will be sent into Jannat because they believed in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now they will ask those in Jahannam, ma salakakum fi saqar, what is it that landed you in the fire of Jahannam? So from this what we learn is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hukumat and government is not a blind one, that without any fair trial the person will be put into Jahannam. It shows that even the people who are in Jahannam will know exactly what were those deeds and what were those actions because of which they landed themselves in Jahannam. Because they will mention, these are the reasons why we landed in Jahannam. So that shows that they were informed, they were tested, they were tried. On the day of Qiyamah the scales were set up, and they know fully well why they are going into Jahannam. From this the fuqaha or the jurists have deduced that it is necessary that a person who has been arrested must be informed of why he has been arrested and given an opportunity to defend himself. It is proven that he must be given an opportunity to defend himself. On suspicion, a person can be arrested. If a person is suspected of having committed some crime, then in a Muslim state, according to the teachings of Sharia, a person can be arrested on suspicion. That is not a problem. However, he cannot be allowed to languish in jail for years and years and there's no court case taking place. They say under the security laws, now you can wait for trial, no trial, for years. People are in prison. Many of them don't even know why they are in prison. And those who are in prison, go to India, go to Pakistan, go to Saudi Arabia, go to other parts of the world, and now in America, Europe, England, and those who are in Guantanamo Bay, and so many other places in Africa. So many people, they are in prison, they have been arrested on nothing but suspicion. And after that, they haven't been given a fair trial, they haven't been given a chance to defend themselves. And sometimes after years when the case comes up, then they say he was innocent. So if he was innocent, then all these years, who's going to pay for that? So the person can be arrested on suspicion, but immediately there must be an investigation and he must either be released or he must be charged. So here these kuffar and all those others also who will be in Jahannam, they will be informed that these are the reasons for which you are being put into the fire of Jahannam. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informs us so that we may not do those things that these people did and landed themselves in Jahannam. For example, in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says with regards to hajis, those who will make hajj, that there will be four categories of them. Some people will be making for nothing but tourism. The multi-rich will be tourism. That just as you visit Paris, London or some other city or country, so like that people will go to Makkah Sharif, Madina Sharif for nothing but tourism. That we visited Madina Sharif, we visited Makkah Sharif. But nothing else. They will not bring about any change in their lives. They will not restrain themselves from haram even in those Mubarak places. They will not really make rujoo ila Allah and turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who gave them the opportunity to be there in those Mubarak places. Because their niyat and maqsad was nothing else. Some people it will be just for trade purposes, nothing else. That they will just go there so that we may do some trade with Saudi Arabia. Millions of people come there. So where else can you make better deals than there? But once again, it is not haram, it is not forbidden, because if nobody traded with Makkah, Madina, Sharif, then we would not have found our necessities also there. So it is perfectly jais and permissible for a person to travel from here to go and buy dates from there or to go and buy something else and sell here. However, he must not announce to the public that I am going for Hajj. He must not announce that I am going for Umrah, that I am going for Ziyarat. Somebody asks him where you are going, well, I'm going for Hajj. Then he must say clearly that I am going for business. And by the way, I will make Hajj. In other words, that Hajj will now be by the way. Secondary. And his primary reason for going there is nothing but trade. So then he must be honest and truthful and state it clearly that this is the niyat for which I am going there. So he will get what his niyat is. If his niyat is business, then he'll get that. If his niyat is Hajj, he will get Hajj. But the person who says, and he goes and meets everybody and he's announcing and queuing up in the queue that he's leaving for Hajj, so then, and he says that I'm going for Hajj, but his niyat is that I'm just going there for trade purposes, for business. That is what is referred to in that. And then the ulama, they will, or the learned people and the scholars, they will go for show business. Hazrat Maulana so and so made so many Hajj, not one Hajj he missed over the past 50 years. So the niyat will be nothing but to be seen on Arafat. Maulana, acha, this year you also here. This year you also here. So, yes, yes, right. From the last 50 years, I haven't missed one Hajj. Wow. Like one person, he says, when they asked him, somebody went to visit him. So he said, that bring that jug, which I brought from Makkah Sharif, in my third or fifth Hajj. So he says in that one statement of his, bring that jug which I brought in the fifth Hajj, he wiped out all his five Hajj. So they will be going for show. And the poor people will be going there for begging. Now that Hadith Sharif then does not mean that a person must not go for Hajj. Because the four categories that have been covered there, so there will be some business people, there will be some ulama, there will be some poor people, there will be others. So now it does not mean that they must not go for Hajj. Must not misunderstand. What it means that don't go for Hajj with these niyats, with these niyat, with these type of niyat and intentions, don't go for Hajj. If you go for Hajj, then go sincerely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So wherever there is a hadith of this nature, then it is like a warning that don't follow those people who are in that direction, those who are disobedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or those whose niyats are not correct, those who are going with other motives, then you must not be like that. That is what it means. Doesn't mean that now nobody must go for Hajj. The ulama mustn't go for Hajj. The business people mustn't go for Hajj. The poor mustn't go for Hajj. It doesn't mean that. So here also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He gives us these ayats as a warning that we should not become like them. Take a lesson. They landed themselves in the fire of Jahannam. So now we must not do those things that land us in the fire of Jahannam. Like somebody says that don't steal because you'll go into vegetable prison. So he's warning that don't steal because then you will land yourself in vegetable prison. So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that he'll question them that what is it that landed you in Jahannam? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. The first thing they will say, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We did not make our prayers. We did not make our salat. We were not making our namaz. That obligation, which is the first one regarding which even the believers will be questioned, salat. So they say that we were not making salat. Now the question arises that these were kuffar. So then the kuffar, where there is a need for them to make salat, you won't go and ask those who are disbelievers, did you make your salat, did you make your salat? Salat will come afterwards. The first thing that they will be questioned about is their iman. If they got iman, then comes salat. So Mufassirin have mentioned different things. But as I stated, that it just came to mind that I want to discuss this ayat. I'm not going into detail tafsir. But some have said that it is that shiddat of their azab, that they will be punished for not having accepted Islam, and one of the most important pillars of Islam is salat, so therefore their punishment will be increased. And the others have said that this is regarding those believers who will be in Jahannam because they did not perform their salat. So salat, which is an important pillar of deen, how much negligence there is. Take Eid day or any other day, we'll look at the crowds that we get. Take our Jummah Salat, take our Eid Salat. So it seems as if we have become accustomed, or the majority of the Ummah has become accustomed to what? Saat ki, khat ki, or 360 ki. Either they make Jummah Salat, they make Janaza Salat, or they make Eid Salat. One Maulana Sahib went into one village, and then he said, jitne musal, jitne log namaz nahi padte, wo sab kutte aur suwar aur khinzir hai. Whoever don't make salat, they are monkeys and pigs. So the village people got very intimidated and they went for their big, big dandas to beat up this Maulana. So he said, Maulana, ye aapne kya kaha? Ki jo namaz nahi padte, wo sab khinzir hai aur bandar hai. So the Maulana too was very sharp. He said, aap logo su nahi kaha maine. I didn't tell that you all are monkeys and you all are pigs. I said, those who don't make namaz, don't you make Eid namaz? He said, haan, Eid ki to hum padte hai. To phir aap nahi huye. So now, does it mean that if you make Eid namaz, you became a namazi? But now he had to find a way out to save his life. So just as that Maulana Sahab said, agar aap Eid ki padte hai, to bas namazi hai aap. So that's how we also take it, that if we made our Eid Salat, we are namazis. Lam naku minal musallina, namaz nahi padte the. Look at our homes, look at our families' homes, look at our the area that we live in, all our cities, our towns, the whole country and the world. How much of negligence is shown to this important pillar, without which there is no deen. How many times I have mentioned this, that when people are crushed, when people are crushed, when people are bombed, when masajid are bombed, then definitely it hurts every Muslim. It must hurt. But when that masjid was standing, that time there were no musallis there. Go there Fajr time, go there other namazes. When the masjid was there, at that time there were no musallis. The masjid was crying. Masjid to bana di shabbar mein, ima ki hararat walo ne. Masjid to bana di shabbar mein, ima ki hararat walo ne. Man apna purana paapi hai, barson mein namazi ban na saka. When you ask for contribution and donation for masjid, then there was a flood of contribution. But the persons who gave contributions, years and years went by, they didn't get the tawfiq of making namaz in that masjid. So if we have to look at those masajid, how many of them were crying, "Where are you, O Musallis?" Now when they are bombed, then the whole world cries, "Our masjid, our masjid." But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not look at the masjid. Allah ta'ala looks at the musallis, looks at the people who are supposed to frequent the masjid. So when there's destruction, we must look at what weakness we have in us. Definitely we will do whatever has to be done, objections and protests and everything else, but we must see where did we go wrong. So 70-80% of the people are far away from the masajid. So is it not our duty then that we should make an effort to, at least in our own homes, those people over whom we have some authority, to ensure that they make it to the masjid? Fajr namaz is neglected to such an extent. Go travel out and see. Sometimes it's just the Imam Sahib. Imam Sahib gives azan and the Imam Sahib makes namaz. I've seen that with my own eyes. Or sometimes it's just the Imam Sahib and 2-3 other musallis. And yet you will find Jummah time that masjid is full. Or there are so many people that are there, very active in doing so many works of charities and other kind of activities. But when it comes to Salat, then they are far away from the masajid. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has said that the differentiating factor, something that separates the believers from the disbelievers, is Salat. And that is the reason why Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala, all these sahabas, they say that that person who forgoes one salat purposely, he has committed kufr. And Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, then he takes his masla from that. That those people have said that he has indeed committed kufr, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, "Man taraka as-salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar." But as I mentioned previously also, that we must make so much of shukr that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi found a way out for us. And the Ahnaf, they said that no, what the person has done is that he has committed an act which is very similar to that of the kuffar, that they don't make salat, this believer is not making salat. But until he does not reject the farziyat of the salat, he is a Muslim. That means if he doesn't reject it, he believes that farz namaz is farz 5 times a day. Just that due to negligence he did not perform or does not perform, then we will still say that he is a Muslim. But he too says that the person must be arrested, put him into prison, and then give him such a hiding that either he makes tawbah or he departs from this world. But put him in prison. If only we had to even apply that law, then I said all the prisons of the Muslim countries would have been full. No place in there. Or either everyone else would have started making the salat. But Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah says kufr, finished. That person must make his nikah again. If he dies, don't bury him in a Muslim graveyard. How severe. And yet we take it so lax. Walimas, nikahs, birthday parties, engagement parties, this party, this function, that function. All these type of things. When we are there, then namaz is not important. Azan is taking place and the people, they will tell those people who got some beard and kurta, "Namaz time, Maulana, God make yourself." Maulana, namaz, azan. You did other azan. In other words, that the Maulana sahab and those people must now go and make salat. Salat is for them. Aise kehte, Maulana azan ho rahi hai. Batate bhi hai, masjid idhar hai. They show also in that direction, masjid is in that direction. So, bhai, are you not a Muslim? Is namaz only for them? So, lam nakum min al musalleen. It is like the head in deen, the position of salat is like the head in the human body. It's mirajul mu'mineen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at his ihsan upon us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given the miraj, and due to his barakat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed us with Mi'raj. 5 times a day Mi'raj. And no matter, besides that too, whenever you want Mi'raj, go into sajda and you got Mi'raj. So was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in a hurry from his Mi'raj? When a person gets the opportunity to communicate with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then must he be in a hurry? Tu ja me aata hun salat. That salat must have khushu and khuzu. But I mentioned many times that khushu and khuzu is different in different places. The khushu of an imam is different. That now he mustn't read Surah Baqarah. In his home, tahajjud time, he must read long, long surahs and make lengthy sajdas. But when he's an imam, then man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. But when he's alone, then make lengthy sajdas, take your time, read. The khushu of when the plane is about to take off is read inna atoina qul huwallah, make quick ruku sajda and rush for the plane. The khushu when the person is traveling with others and there is going to delay the others, then at that time he mustn't make lengthy sajdas and lengthy rukus. There's different type of khushu for different places. Sometimes the person is going to that back section there where they've got prayer room there in the aeroplane. Now there are so many people that are waiting there in the Saudi flight. So many people are waiting to make the salat. Now this person says, I'm traveling to Makkah Sharif. What an opportunity to make salat 30,000 feet above sea level. So now he's in sajda. And he's going on and on with the Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And in the meantime, these people are all waiting. Now that is not the khushu of that salat. That time must give consideration to those people. We have to learn the masail. We have to understand what is to be done and when it is to be done. But we must improve our salat, our nafil salat that we make, our sunnat salat that we make. That is where we must, with khushu and with khuzu. And in our farz salat, if it is with the imam, then at least even if he's reading short surah, there must be khushu and khuzu in that short surah. So then we will get this connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because there's nothing better than salat. Look at the purification that is required before salat. The person is reminded that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heart was removed. It was washed in the water of Zamzam. It was replaced. And thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam was taken for Mi'raj. Here this believer is told that you don't have to take your heart out and wash. And we won't send Jibreel alayhi salatu wasallam for every salat to take your heart out and wash it. What you do is make wuzu. And we will consider this as having taken your heart out and washed it and take you for Mi'raj. Ye tumhare liye Mi'raj ho. As if your heart was taken out. That is why the person after the wuzu says, Allahumma ghfir li zambi. Asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So he makes purification of his body, of his soul, and thereafter he goes into sajda and he's in Mi'raj. So there the person should not be in a hurry. Look at Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. All he was asked is, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your right hand, O Musa? So any sensible person would have just answered, it is a stick, that's all. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He couldn't have given a lengthy speech for nothing. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. If somebody asks, what's in your hand? He says, a stick. قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. My staff or my stick is in my hand. I take support on this stick. أَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. And there was all the things that he was doing with the stick, breaking the leaves for the animals to graze them, or take the animals and graze them. And all the other things that he was doing with the stick, he covered all that in one lengthy speech. He said that why did he say such a lengthy, make such a lengthy statement? Because he had the opportunity of making kalam with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So if a person gets the opportunity of speaking to his beloved, then he wants to talk and talk and talk. Muhabbat is a thing. So here in Allah Ta'ala is giving us the opportunity. And this salat, look at what it brings for a person. It brings sukoon in his life, brings barkat in his risk and sustenance, especially those people who are particular about their fajr salat. That is the time that risk is distributed, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them barkat in that risk. But when they sleep fajr time, Then shaitan the whole day makes them feel miserable. The whole day. The barakat of the rizq is gone. The people who are punctual with the 5 times salat, Qiyamah day they will get the book of life in the right hand. Exactly what we are hearing here. That they are exception. Those who will get the book of deeds in the right hand, they will be in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala will make their mouth easy. The sakarat will become easy. The azab of qabr will be taken away from them. And so many other benefits and virtues. Read as the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, his Fazail al-Salat. Allah Ta'ala wants to give via this salat, He wants to give. Istaeenu bis sabri was salah. You have to seek the help of Allah Ta'ala then bis sabr was salah. So it is not going to benefit Allah Ta'ala in any way. So let us not make our salat like as if it is a burden on our shoulders. We just have to get it off our shoulders. And say, we've made our salat, finish. They say, in fact, the person who is an old Muslim, he makes his salat very fast. The new Muslim takes his time and makes. So one old Muslim, he made his salat very, very fast. And he was out. Now this new Muslim made his namaz slowly, properly, and then he came outside. He said, but how did you finish so quick? He said, because I'm an old Muslim. You are new, you are learning. I'm old, I learnt it. So that is why I was so fast. Whereas he should be the one who should be performing it even better. And this happened one occasion, one person came to the madrasa, one German, he accepted Islam, and then I brought him here for Zohar. Because he accepted Islam, so now we had to bring him for Zohar Salat. So I explained to him that this is how he had his ghusl made and all that, and he had come. We made wuzu, and then I said, well, you just stand next to somebody, and up and down as they go, you go. But after that, you just do this, that read Subhanallah, Subhanallah, and just, it gave him a basic explanation of Turakat Salat, and then brought him here. Believe me, after Zuhur, everybody was finished. We went outside there, waiting, this person is still in Sajda. He's not coming out from Sajda. And then when he came outside, then he's saying, the enjoyment that I got when my forehead was on the ground before the Almighty, says, I can't tell you what experience I had. Like new Muslim, just a few hours Muslim. So there is something in that sajda. It is miraj, not for nothing. There is some great ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala is wanting to give us. So they say this is the first thing, that there was no salat in our lives. That is why we landed in Jahannam. So now that is not just information, that Allah Ta'ala is just giving us some kind of a fairy tale or story. What it is intended for is that we must take it seriously. That if we haven't got salat in our lives, 5 times salat at the appropriate hour and time, then we must bring it. And with jamaat as far as possible. The sick and the weak and other thing, exceptions there, but as far as possible with jamaat. Here, let's move a little forward. Then they say, "Walam nakun nut'imul miskeen," and we should not feed the poor, the indigent ones. We were not taking care of them. At present, if you have to look around the world, how many people are starving, suffering, no food, nothing to drink. One brother wrote to me, he says that where all this devastation and destruction in some places, some shops have opened. He says, with my own eyes I saw that a person came and they are selling sugar by the spoons. So they're selling sugar by the spoon. And the person is saying, give me 1 spoon sugar, 1 tablespoon or 3 tablespoon sugar. So how much sugar we must make to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for the ni'mat that He is blessing us with. But at the same time, Sharia does not want to see a society of beggars. We must not misunderstand. The Sharia does not want to see a whole society of beggars being encouraged to beg. When people are in need, then one of the importance or one of the solutions to the problem is that people must try to find jobs and vacancies for them, create jobs, even though they may just get sufficient salary so that they can live on that, and then assist them over and above that with your zakat and fitras, but try and create jobs so that they stand on their own feet. A very well-known saying that instead of giving the person a fish, teach him how to fish and give him a rod so that he can go on fishing and have food for the whole year, instead of just buying him one fish and giving to him. So society full of beggars is not what Shariat wants to see. But at the same time, it does not want to see people who are needy, starving, hungry, suffering. It wants to see that they must be taken care of. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look, read again Fazail al-Sadaqat and see how many hadiths Hazrat has compiled there from the different books of Hadith Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Da'u marzakum bis-sadaqah, that your sick people, treat them with sadaqah. Now that sadaqah doesn't mean you must go and buy an animal and slaughter and distribute the meat. Whatever is the need of the poor, give something as sadaqah. And ask Allah Ta'ala with the barakat of that to remove the suffering of that person. So with medication and with other things, that's also one of the solutions. استقبلوا أمواج البلاء بالدعاء والتضرع. And all the balas that are coming, the waves of balas, then face them with dua and with tadarru, with humility. Pray to Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah Ta'ala to save and protect from all those balas and all those fitnas. If we are going to pray when we are in good times, then Allah Ta'ala will protect us in those times. The angels will say that this is a voice which we hear always. Angels also will say, Ya Allah, this is a voice that we always hear. Now he's in difficulty, assist him and help him. They will make dua for that person. So they say the second weakness that we had is that we were not feeding the poor. We were not taking care of the needs of the poor. We were not assisting and helping those that were destitute, those that were orphans, widows, whoever was in need, we were not assisting and helping them. And then وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. Now this is something that is very, very relevant to our time, to all of us. By way of explanation, that wherever people were absorbed in disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, anything that was batil, anything that was shameless, indecent, obscene, anything that was vain and futile, say we used to go and get absorbed with those people also. Wherever we went, whatever we saw them doing, even though it may have been something they were indulging in which was displeasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or it was open criticism of deen, it was open criticism of the Quran, it was open criticism and rejection of the sunnah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, whatever it was, of course the kuffar, it was a rejection of the ayat of the Quran Sharif, rejection of the prophets, rejection of all those things. But in a general application, then even the believers, that wherever they went, whoever was indulging in sins and vices and evils, then he too participated in that. If you go into a home and they are watching TV and movie and there's some filthy porn site that is there on the internet or anything like that, and there's some friends that are watching, then this friend who was a namazi, who was making zikr, who was making ibadat, or this person who was at the Rauza Mubarak and who was in Hajj and who was in Mina and Arafat and Muzdalifah, and who was shedding a lot of tears in Arafat and who was crying at the Multazam, but now when he returns and he goes into those homes, he doesn't have the courage to say, brothers, I am sorry, I have returned from Hajj, I cannot participate in this sin, I am going, or either you switch it off. And if he didn't go Hajj and come back, it doesn't mean all of us are finished, absolved. We have to do the same thing, that if we have to by chance go to somebody's home and they are watching something that is haram, that is not to be seen, or they're listening to music, they are listening to songs, or they are indulging in such kind of talk which is haram to indulge in, then at that time to have the courage and to have that himmat and to say that I am sorry, I cannot sit and I cannot wait here any longer, then they will say you are orthodox, you are old fashioned, you are living in the camel age and you all don't know what is life, and they will give you all kinds of titles. So at that time to take that pain on one's heart, the criticism, to listen to it And that time don't talk too much about family relationship, family relationship. Family relationship has got a very important place in Islam and Sharia. Quran and Sunnah is filled with family relationship hadiths. Sila Rahmi, there are so many ayat. But at that time, the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets priority. Even if that family has to split up, even if that family has to be displeased, then the person must not be worried and concerned. But of course, at that time, if the person can, with diplomacy, with hikmah, with tact, get them to switch it off, or get them to restrain themselves, then that is what he should do. He should not break up family relationship for no reason. He must not be proud and arrogant. He must not have the holier-than-thou attitude. He must humble himself and say, I'm sorry, I can't take the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the akhirat. I would very much like to sit with you all, but my Allah will be displeased. And what if he sends the azab? Then I cannot even put my finger over that flame on the candle. Where can I go into the azab of Jahannam? That fire, how can I take that? So therefore I'm very sorry. Then they can say what they want to. After that again go visit them at some other time and then talk to them, generals, about Deen Sharia. But at that time, to say that they will become annoyed, they will become displeased, they will become angry, they will not like me. So that is not permissible. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. When it comes to disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then there's no obedience to the creation. And so this is what they said, that we used to go and get absorbed with them. Wherever we went, whatever we saw happening, if there was rejection of the Quran, rejection of the Anbiya, rejection of Deen, rejection of Sharia, and sometimes the people are making a mockery of Deen. They're actually making a mockery of the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. And this person is sitting there and is enjoying himself too, or he doesn't have the courage to say anything, but he's sitting there and listening. So at that time, get up and go away. Either have the himmat to say this is wrong, or get up and go away. But if the person participates in that, then this is what the end result. That see, these people in Jahannam, they say that what landed us here is kunna nakhudhu ma'al khalidin. So this is a very important thing, because many of us who are in the first saf and in the masjids and in the deen work and deen activities, but when it comes to going to places, we just don't have the himmat to stay away from that which is haram and forbidden. In our own homes also we don't have the himmat and courage to tell to our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles and grandfathers that please, don't displease Allah Ta'ala, don't disobey Him, because the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if it has to come, then the superpowers cannot do anything, what can we do? So don't be disobedient, and don't be rebellious, that knowing something is haram, purposely the person does it, and thereafter he even brags about it, or he makes a mockery of those who are not indulging in it, then that is even worse. The person accidentally committed some sin and makes plenty of tawbah is different. But the person who is quite happy and then he makes a big joke of those people that are not indulgent, then that is kufr. If a person makes a mockery of a teaching of deen, then it is kufr. It can be sunnat. To make the miswak can be a sunnat. And many other sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If a person practices upon it, he'll get the sawab of sunnat. But if a person rejects it and the person makes a mockery of it, then it is kufr. So even this minutest sunnah, there must be no mockery of it. Now how much of mockery is made of farais and wajibat? Where are we going to talk about sunnats and mustahabbat? So وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِدِينَ and وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّىٰ أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. We used to reject the day of judgment. When people used to talk about the day of judgment, we should take it as a big joke. And those of us who don't take it as a big joke and we believe that there is a day of judgment, then our actions must show that we believe that there is a day of judgment. The person who believes that there is a day of judgment, then will he steal? Will he commit adultery and fornication? Will he commit fraud? Will that person indulge in all the other haram? purposely. He's not going to indulge in it because he believes that there is a day of judgment. So even if the police doesn't catch him, he will be caught on the day of judgment. So if a person is saying that I believe in the day of judgment, but he is carrying on with his life of sin and evil, then it shows that it is only on his tongue, but it's not in his heart. Because the person who says fire burns, then he doesn't put his hand into the fire. He knows it burns. That means he believes that it burns. So to believe in something is different from just having the knowledge of something. The knowledge is there, that there is a day of judgment. But Allah Ta'ala didn't say that you must just have the knowledge of a day of judgment. If it was just the knowledge of the day of judgment, then how long does it take to get the knowledge of day of judgment? 2 seconds. You have to tell this, that I believe in the day of judgment. Finish. But it's a belief that the person truly believes that there is a day of judgment. We are going to be called to account for all our deeds and actions, and then there's going to be Jannat or Jahannam. That must be our faith, it must be our belief, it must be our yaqeen. So they say that we were rejecting this, there was rejection of it, we were not interested in it. We used to make a mockery of the day of judgment. Until death came, hatta atan al yaqeen. Yaqeen here means death. Death came away, now the person is believing. Now he says, I believe. When death comes at that time, everybody is going to believe. When he's going to see the angels of death, then who is not going to believe? But it's going to be too late then. So now these were the 4 things which we will term as admission of guilt. That they saying themselves that these were the things that we are doing, that's why we landed in Jahannam. So bring salat in our lives. That is something that we cannot do without. Without salat, the person is not a Muslim, true Muslim. And we take this to be one of those things. It's a teaching of deen, teaching of sharia. If somebody makes salat, well and good. If somebody doesn't make, what's there? So with ihtimam, the person must make a fikr, he must have a concern, he must be serious about his salat. That he must not miss one salat. Purposely missing one salat also is not acceptable. The person made every effort to get up and then he slept away, he couldn't get up. And that's excuse. But I always say what the person must do who cannot get up easily is buy 2 alarm clocks and keep them a little distance away from the bed and put the time also just 20 or 25 minutes before Fajr. So that when he gets up to switch it off, then he doesn't get back into bed saying still there's half an hour to go. Otherwise, shaitan is too shrewd. He'll make you put the alarm 1 hour before time. And then when you switch it off, he'll say still another 1 hour to go, so another half an hour I can sleep. They put you off to sleep again. So put the 2 alarm clocks far away. Get some friend to also phone you. If some neighbor is going for salat time, to tap at your door to And if a person has got a little bit of weakness in the left ear, he can't hear properly from his left ear, then don't put the alarm clocks on that side. Put it by the right ear. Whichever side he hears well, put it that side. But make every effort. After that, if the person overslept, then he's excused. But where the person purposely puts his alarm clock 7:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, what does it mean? How many homes the alarm is set for breakfast time, for work time, not namaz time. So salat, assistance and help to the poor and needy, to give from whatever Allah Ta'ala has given, وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Then the person must make sure that he does not indulge in those activities which distances a person from deen. Anything that is haram, anything that's forbidden, those gatherings where there's indifference, there's negligence, there's ghaflat, then the person must stay far away from there. Because it brings the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. We'll have to make amal. There is no question of escape from amal. And death is going to come. So we should not become like them who said, Hatta atana al-yaqeen, that we rejected the day of judgment until death came. The death is going to come whether we like it or not. And recently it's become so common, young people, wife, children, and go in accident or shootings and killings. They get shahadat, but look at the lesson they leave behind for us. Look at the lesson that they leave behind for us. That those days are gone when we say that we're going to live for 80 years and 100 years. The person doesn't know what's going to happen. The next second, what's going to happen. Look at the earthquake. How many people? 150,000, 200,000, could be much more. Gone. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us himmat and courage. He has given us the himmat. Just that we don't want to make use of that himmat. Himmat is there. To do these things like namaz and roza, zakat, hajj, and stay away from haram, which person hasn't got the himmat? Otherwise Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have made it farz. Allah Ta'ala would not have made taqwa farz if it was not possible for a person to be muttaqi. We've got the himmat. Person says, I don't have the himmat to make salat and get up for fajr. Just send one burglar there with a gun half an hour before fajr. And then see, he must step and say, I've got the gun, but you are addicted to sleep, fajr time, so you remain asleep, but I'm coming in now. Then see what happens. Will anybody remain asleep? Person who says, I just cannot give up watching this filth on the television, it's my habit. And now when the people are watching, at that time, Allah Ta'ala protect, if two or three people come in with guns, they say, no, but you are really addicted to this serial, so complete it. Then we'll shoot you. Then will remain there. So where does the himmat come at that time? Where does the courage come at that time? Why does he start screaming at that time and run from there for his life? Forgets to even switch the TV off. So the himmat is there, but it's just that azmat of Allah Ta'ala is not in our hearts. Azmat of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, that's not in our hearts. Therefore we are unconcerned. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya akramal akramin, ya ghiyathal mustaqim. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف او میں بنور اللہ او میں رحیم اللہ او میں کریم اللہ او میں موسٹ فورگیونگ اللہ موسٹ کمپیشنٹ لوینگ کیئرنگ اللہ موسٹ بیوٹیفل اللہ موسٹ ٹالرنٹ اللہ. Forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, we have been very, very negligent. We have shown no concern for the deen. We have distanced ourselves from the Quran and the Sunnah. We are indulging in all those actions and deeds in which the kuffar and the mushrikeen, the yahood and the nasara indulge. Ya Allah, we say we believe in you, we believe in the day of judgment. We believe in the life after death. We believe in Jannat and Jahannam, but it's all on our lips. Ey mere pyare Allah, make it the yaqeen of our hearts. Ya Allah, make it the yaqeen of our hearts. Ya Allah, bless us with forgiveness of our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of night. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Mere pyare Allah, mere Rahim Allah, mere Kareem Allah. Bless us with your marifat, bless us with your muhabbat, bless us with the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't seize us on account of our evil deeds and actions. Mere Allah, اگر تُو نے نگاہِ رحمت ہم سے پھیر لی تو تُو بتا کہ پھر ہم گندے جائے گا. تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں, تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں. There is no one for us besides you. My beloved Allah, don't turn away your glance of rahmat and mercy from us because of our sins. Ya Allah, make us the fish that swims deep down in your ocean of marifat. Oh my Allah, don't let nafs and shaitan snatch us away. Ya Allah, bless us with such a bond with you, such a bond with you, such muhabbat of yours, that every moment of our life we enjoy the sweetness of that bond. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so much of his blood was shed for the ummah. So much tears he shed for the ummah. Ya Allah, when he is informed of the condition of his ummah, how much of pain it must be causing to him. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the ummah. We know because of our sins there's so much of suffering. But Ya Allah, what is difficult for you to give us hidayat, to change the condition of our hearts. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal le, mera ghaflat mein dooba de. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal le, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Gunahgari mein kab tak umr kaatun, badal de mera rasta dil badal de. Ya Allah, bless us with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with barakat in our homes, barakat in our lives, barakat in our businesses, barakat in our health. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Ya Allah, all the du'as that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made for the ummah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitna that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the works and activities of deen which are taking place, accept them. Give all workers of deen ikhlas in their ummah. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication or any kind of haram. When the time of our departure comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah, at the Rauza Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah on our lips, let our soul come dense into us. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله